Hey everybody, TC Hale here. Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most number of people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular shows. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box to find previous shows. But for now, enjoy this show on cravings and binge eating that originally aired in January of 2014.
TC Hale is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Hey everybody, and welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with TC Hale, natural health expert, author, film producer.
Hello.
Hello, and we also have a guest star today.
He's so fancy.
and he smells delicious, ladies. He's Hollywood celebrity trainer and nutritionist to the stars. It's Will Schmidt. Everybody say hello to Will.
Hi.
And Will to them.
Let's pause for each person to say hello
yeah,
to Will.
Yeah, okay, we'll wait. We'll take, yes.
How many people listen?
17.
Yeah. 17 listeners to wait for, so. Because we're fancy now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's cool. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about cravings and avoiding binge eating.
Shazam.
Wow. Those are some big topics. And I know, you know, those are some big things with me for sure. So if you're listening now, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. And we'll post topics that we're going to be discussing in future shows. And you guys can post any questions you want us to cover in that show. But getting back to the topic, cravings and binge eating. What's up?
Yeah, what's up with that? Let's talk about that a little bit, Will. And let's why don't we talk about some basics that we see a lot in clinic, and then we'll go into some questions and get into more in-depth stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe the best news we have to share with people about this is that it's usually not so much a matter of like willpower, which is who knows how to fix it. It's a whole other esoteric realm of it's, you know, hard to get a hold on. But when you know some of the base chemistry that causes cravings, it can really, really help fix things right away. And I think some of the main things that I think you'll agree on is that we see that cause that are when people's blood pressure is too low, or their blood sugar is unstable, or they're not getting the nutrients that they need from the food because they're not digesting it well or eating the right ones for them.
Right, and it can be a combo of those.
What about if someone's craving attention?
They just need a hug.
Oh, okay.
Or a
okay.
Spanking.
Oh.
It kind of depends on.
That's a different show. Yeah, that's the midnight show, everybody.
But most people do think that they're just flawed, and that it's a personality disorder, that I'm a chocoholic, or that I just must have sugar, or I'm going to punch you in the face. Mm-hmm. And they just think that that's how they are, and that's what they were dealt.
You guys are psychic, because I was going to ask, is it psychological or is it physiological? Physiological.
You know, it really can be both, though, and I think that you kind of have to look at both. But I think that once me and Will kind of explain some of these things that go along with a lot of cravings, you'll see that there can be a psychological aspect to it. You know, maybe you do have trauma from when you're a kid and your uncle locked you in a closet and said, finish this case of Twinkies or you can't come out. You know, something can affect from your childhood that would make a relationship with food maybe a little different or a little whacked.
And I have a feeling you're going to go into sciencey stuff, aren't you?
I probably will go into some sciencey stuff. But the thing is, like, I think if you can understand some of the sciencey stuff, then the trouble of the craving can go from a 10 down to a 2. And maybe that psychological factor is still there, but it's manageable, and you don't come out of a trance in the middle of a 7-Eleven punching the clerk in the face, asking him why he's out of your favorite chocolate. You know, like, you can manage yourself.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping this was going to be like a therapy session, but I guess not.
It's probably not.
Darn.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that is And as much as we in our practice focus on just the biochemistry of it, I know there's a lot of clients that I've worked with that they learn the chemistry part of it and they'll be doing the program for a bit and then they'll sabotage it. Like they're kind of just getting more balanced, but then they're like, they want to be fat because it protects them from the opposite sex or something like that.
Sure, yeah. Amen. You gotta address those issues for sure.
I have men chasing me everywhere, right. So then I you have just to sabotage myself.
How
right.
can I get uh-huh. less attention?
How can I get to my car without getting raped? I'm right. gonna eat a Twinkie.
Right. So that's real and stuff, but I would say like it's definitely not my area of focus or expertise. Like we're not psychologists.
Right.
We can point people towards that when we feel like that's a primary issue. But in our realms, I totally agree with you. Like the more we can balance their body chemistry, the better chance they have of dealing with those aspects as well.
And I have had clients that were going to a therapist just for their cravings, and they had been doing so for over a decade. And then once we fixed physiology to where the body's actually getting what it needs and it's not screaming for gimme Nilla wafers, then she didn't need to see her therapist anymore. And so it is, in some cases, very possible just to knock it out completely by helping the body get what it needs.
I would be so ticked off 10 years of paying a therapist. I'd send her a bill and be like, lady, you probably screwed me up more than I was when I first came in.
Right. Because when I got here, I was craving, uh-huh. but now I scream hysterically anytime I see a exactly. Smurf. So exactly. I don't know what you did to cause uh-huh. that.
Yeah, and that's always been my approach. That's why I work in health and fitness and like deal with so much with food and exercise, because I've found most of the time like the body is so primary in our mindset and decision making, and a lot of times like the voice in our head is really just like responding to what the the deeper primal drives that the brain is giving it.
So it's not the inner child screaming at you that it's hungry. Because my child can scream really loud, and it's got tunnel vision until I feed it. So it's just an imbalance, mostly.
Well, your child may be a little bitchy, too.
Yeah, that is my child. I'm a ginger.
So. That would be a situation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, a lot of times, if you can give your body what it needs, and you can also change what you're eating and please your body a little bit. Not that way. Don't please your body that way, but I mean, you can please your body by giving your body.
We're going to go there. It's still the midnight show.
But let's look at a couple of physiological things that most commonly cause cravings. And I'll say the biggest one, like Will was saying, is low blood pressure. And what happens is, we've talked about this on another episode before, where if minerals in the body go very low, a person can have seizures. And a seizure is basically the body just shutting down. And if blood sugar goes super low, a person can also have seizures. But if sugar and minerals both go low at the same time, that really jacks up the percentage of the chance of that person having a seizure. And so what we want to make sure you don't think is if you're having a craving that you're about to have a seizure. That's not how it is.
I was about to go grab a cookie right now.
Right, yeah. Just so you can make it through the end of the show.
Exactly. I'm going to have a seizure.
The body's just super defensive when it comes to seizures. So it really plans ahead and it'll send out the signal for, hey, give me a cupcake, way ahead of time. But that can be a big thing. So we'll talk a little bit about, why somebody would have low blood pressure or low minerals.
Yeah. A lot of the time we see low blood pressure and we look to digestion as a very likely problem in that person's case. Because if the digestion isn't working well, they can't break down the food that they're eating and they can't get blood sugar and electrolytes and minerals and everything like that from their food. So it just kind of passes through them and causes nausea and toxicity, and their bloodstream remains depleted. Right. So overall, their blood pressure is really low, even if they feel full all the time. It's just a lot of it's coming from them not breaking down their foods well enough, usually because they don't have enough stomach acid or they have poor bile flow. What I see a ton of the time with all these like skinny Hollywood girls that I work with is they starve themselves to the point where they don't have enough of the minerals that they need to make their own digestive juices, like the chloride they need to make hydrochloric acid.
Right.
So then they're all really low in HCL and they don't break down proteins because of that. And so they end up only being able to access energy from carbohydrates, which don't require HCL to to break down. So they get on this little sugar roller coaster, but they know carbs make them fat. So they try to eat them as little as possible. So they'll just go as long as they can, feeling spacey and tired and hungry. And then eventually their body just gives them this seizure warning, like, dude, you gotta eat, I don't care.
And they snap.
And then
that was another one of my questions. When I finally allow myself to give in to a craving, I'll just binge until I'm stuffed, because I think this may be a while before I do this again. So you better make it good.
Make it count.
Yeah, make it count.
Right. I'm going to screw it up all the way.
I'm like kind of an all or nothing. And I guess that's where I'm trying to find like the middle ground and be more balanced with that. But sometimes it's just like, I don't know, there's a beast inside me. And, you know, I'm not very tall. So it's like, where's this food going to go? It's going to go out. So, yeah. Right.
Oh, so with that, like, when you look at, like...
No comment.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, especially if what you're eating is a sugar or carb or... that's for people that don't have great digestion. That's the easiest thing to break down is a sugar or a carb, especially today's processed foods that are just junk. Those are the easiest things for the body to digest. So when you start eating that sugar... You know, we can use sugar to buffer low minerals. So when we don't have the minerals the body needs because digestion is jacked, we can buffer that with sugar. And if sugar's super low, we can buffer that with minerals like salt. That's why we usually crave either salty or sweet foods. So once you start putting something sweet in your mouth, your body gets all excited and is like, yeah, that's what I need. Give me a crap load of that. Just keep putting that in there. The problem is that if you're a person whose cells are not responding to insulin so great, you can't really process that sugar right. So we'll talk about that a little more when we get into some diabetes kind of stuff.
But can you be addicted to sugar? Can that be an addiction?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially when you fall into that trap of like not being able to get energy from proteins and fats, which could be turned into glycogen or blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a point I want to talk about in a second. You can end up relying just on carbohydrates to keep your blood pressure and blood sugar levels at a survivable or a livable rate. So you're not going to get off those sugars until you are able to access the energy stores from proteins and fats. And what's really great about being able to break down protein is that your body, especially proteins that are high in what are called purines, which are essentially amino acid groups that your body can turn into blood sugar pretty readily. And it can store those purines in the liver as this energy form called pyruvate, which is basically like blood sugar in a savings account. So you can just tap that when you need it so your blood sugar levels can stay really stable. And with that... that's why like people don't have cravings usually after they eat like a burger or something like that. They'll be full for 4 hours when they can break it down. Whereas opposed to like Chinese food, which is this huge mm-hmm. carbo load, mm-hmm. they're hungry again in an hour, even though they just had like 1,200 calories.
Aww, that's good. I just finally learned and something.
Let's talk a little bit about what happens with blood sugar levels. Maybe if insulin is too strong and it spikes and crashes and how that can create that hour later.
Yeah. So a lot of these people that, like the skinny Hollywood girls or anyone that's kind of in this anabolic imbalance, which we've mentioned on previous episodes, will usually have a high urine pH. And insulin is a hormone that is made stronger when the blood plasma and the urine pH are high. So when people eat carbohydrates, that insulin is very powerful and it pulls the sugar out of the blood plasma really quickly and into the cells for energy production or to be stored as fat if they're not using carbs actively like during a workout. So their blood sugar then drops low again kind of quickly because the insulin was so strong.
It kind of overpowered
right.
what the person really needed to use that sugar, and then it drops the sugars too low.
Yeah, so then they're hungry again real quick. Or on the opposite side, like say they're insulin resistant because they've developed some degree of diabetes, they may eat carbs, but the cells aren't letting the sugars in. So the brain keeps thinking, I still need more energy. I'm still foggy. So they eat higher and higher glycemic carbs and more of them to eventually try to get some of those into the cells.
Right.
Now these these Hollywood skinny biatches, now that starve themselves, aren't they just setting themselves up to get fat later on in life?
Yeah, they become skinny fat. But in the meantime, you can at least know that they're really depressed and anxious.
Oh, good. Right. That brings me joy. No, I'm kidding. I love skinny Hollywood girls.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So maybe let's get into a few of the questions, and then we'll get into more in-depth on some of these other issues that can cause cravings
too. All right, here we go with some questions. I had a whole bunch. This show could just be all my questions, actually. Janet, salt and bread, not so much sugar. I would kill for a saltine about now. Okay, that was just not really a question, but Janet, I understand. I love salt, too.
Maybe she just likes square things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That's what we crave a lot. And people say, well, I don't crave sugar. I crave pizza, and I crave
chips,
you know, crackers. But that's just carbs that your body turns into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same type of situation, and she's looking for salty things, too. And so that kind of goes along with how we explained that you can buffer the low salts with sugar, and you can buffer the low sugar with salts. And so your body just may crave different things at different times.
Yeah. But yeah, my body has craved, when I was younger, it was mainly salty. And now as I get older, it's like sweets. It's like, give me sweets. I don't know what that's about, but is there some kind of biological explanation?
It's just a preference for the body and what it's needing and what it's finding easier to break down and utilize at that time. You know, it's more than we could ever say, you know, put a finger on. We can just pretend we know stuff, but we don't. We don't really know stuff.
Their lips are just moving, and they're just pretending. Keely from Los Angeles, California. Why am I willing to commit a crime to get chocolate? Because it's good. Right. It's real good.
But I think with chocolate, it's an exceptional food in that it does have really high mineral content and a lot of like ones that are not present in a lot of other foods.
So if you're gonna go out with some chocolate,
But it's also a stimulant, and it also contains theobromine, which is like a love sort of chemical in our body. So it makes you feel better about life and yourself.
That's why
and
you
stuff.
Get chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and it, you know, as a stimulant, and this is like another a thing that may be related to like why you would crave sugar, stimulants accelerate glycolysis or the processing of sugar. So when we look at people with diabetic profiles, they're almost always in what we call a sympathetic imbalance or a fight or flight nervous system imbalance. And that's not because they're necessarily stressed or stuck in traffic or whatever. It's because their nervous system is trying to speed the flow of sugar to the brain and to the cells.
I think that's why I always jump when you walk into a room or you're behind me or something. I always freak out because I'm always like,
right.
Fight or
she's
flight.
She's like the biggest sissy. Like if you come in the neighborhood, you got to announce that you're coming or she's going to like scream.
And then when you announce, I usually scream too. I'm like, ah.
So, and that's a really important piece of the puzzle for a lot of people because they think they're just stress cases and they're just life is hard and whatever else.
Yeah.
But if they can get it so that their body has restored insulin sensitivity and they have all the cofactors they need to burn carbohydrates and they choose the right foods for them so they're not constantly spiking their insulin, then their body can return to its ideal metabolic rate where it's burning through carbs and proteins and fats at an even keel pace, which they can tell largely by looking at their breath rate. And if it's like around 15 or 16 breaths per minute, that shows pretty optimized metabolism of carbohydrates and indirectly of proteins and fats. So that is another reason why people might crave chocolate. In this case, is like because it could help push them into accelerated glycolysis so they get a little bit increase in the stream of glucose to their brain.
Yeah, because so if you have low blood pressure, you're probably going to want like some stimulant to like jack you up so at least you feel like you're awake, maybe.
Yeah, in some cases, but like they also, if they have low blood pressure, they're usually along the fast oxidizer imbalance, like they kind of tend to go together. So stimulants, like a straight stimulant that doesn't also have minerals with it, like just caffeine,
or like coffee,
would make them necessary. Like I've seen most skinny girls in that case, like feel really anxious when they drink coffee because they're already burning through carbs so quickly that, and sugar puts them fat, or the caffeine puts them faster into that, so they get all shaky and hypoglycemic.
Another thing with chocolate too, which kind of makes it this triple threat player, is that a lot of girls that you see that are really crazy about chocolate, that are kind of leaning too anabolic, they also have a blood stream that's tending too alkaline. And when the bloodstream is too alkaline, oxygen can't get down to the tissues where it needs to be, and you kind of feel wiped out and tired and all that kind of stuff. But chocolate can help acidify the bloodstream. So if you're low blood pressure and overly alkaline, now this chocolate can help thicken up your bloodstream, so you've got some gumption in there, and can also push it more balanced instead of overly alkaline, and now your body can utilize oxygen. So chocolate is like this, is like crack to you almost.
But it sounds like it could be good. You should make some chocolate supplements or something. I mean, right, let's patent that. That would be some good times.
But, you know, again, for somebody else whose bloodstream is already too acidic, now chocolate's going to make them much worse. Mm. So that's why, but that is why some people go insane for chocolate, and that's why this chick is going to commit crimes for it.
Yeah. And the next time I see a skinny chick at a Starbucks with a coffee in her hand, I'm going to just knock it out. Right. Just say, you don't need that, honey.
But I'm here for you, baby.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
What's cool about looking at like particular cravings like that is that they're just like Tony said, there's three things that it could solve for this one person. And yet it still might be a good choice for some people. But a lot of the cravings that we get, even though they really benefit a couple aspects of our chemistry, there's still like much better choices that could be made. Like I had one client who he never binged on anything, and just every now and then he really needed a Diet Coke. And when you look at like
a hard one.
Yeah. And when you look at it, it's like, what did Diet Coke do for him? It was he was way too alkaline, so the carbonic acid or the bubbles like acidified his bloodstream, and he was a slow oxidizer, so the caffeine sped it up, and he was generally dehydrated, so like the little bit of water in it like would contribute. So it made perfect sense why he would crave a Diet Coke, but that still doesn't mean like, oh, that's his solution.
It's you don't want that, all those artificial sweeteners and everything. So the solution isn't more chocolate. What we're saying is that even though you tell a person like that that we want you not
to have, somebody's really skinny though and they could handle some chocolate,
well, that doesn't mean that the chocolate's still going to be good for them. Just because they're skinny doesn't mean that they don't have insomnia or that they're depressed and anxious and all these other things that could be the chocolate could be causing. But the solution is to fix the physiology so that the person doesn't need chocolate. They can just have chocolate when they want to have chocolate. It's not this thing that screams at them and yells at them and they're like a prisoner to it.
Yeah, I want to have the choice. I don't want it to control me. I want to choose. Yeah,
right.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, Dawn. I can go for weeks eating right, but when I snap, it's binge city. Mm.
So Kenna can probably explain that to us.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of crap going on, Dawn. I feel for you. You're probably low blood pressure. You've got low mineral resources, something with glycogen and some crap like that, and sugar. I don't know.
No. You're getting too
sciencey. I just spaced out while they were talking. I just look at them because they're pretty.
But I think like her comment is just brings to light how important it is to be able to know how to do your self-tests and check in with what's going on in your chemistry.
Boring.
It can be boring, but it's just helpful. Like, say, like, you feel the craving coming on, and you measure your pHs, you look at your blood pressure, and you know the right answer. So you can maybe let yourself binge that time, but then you can know, like, what went out of balance right before, and then you can, you know, take steps to fix it.
I mean, just anything, even with the word test in it, I get, you know, anxious and I feel like I want to cheat. I want to pass this thing. So I'm going to cheat on my numbers. No, I was really missing my pHs, you know? Yeah, it's weird.
Right. We'll send somebody in the bathroom with you with a pee on strip.
Watch just me pee on a strip, exactly.
Nina, that's going to be your job. You're Kenna's pee officer.
Pee smuggler.
Janie from Danville, California. I usually only crave potato chips, but when I do, I will eat the whole bag.
Yeah, and I think what happens with these people who do well for a long period of time, and then once they get something, they go nuts, is that the body kind of remembers that, hey, those potato chips were easy to break down. I very easily turned them into sugar that I could use right away, and I could stop the body from going towards a seizure because the sugars were able to buffer those low minerals. And plus, potato chips, they have all that salt, so you're getting salt and sugar. That's a bonus, you know? Mm. So what happens is, once you taste that, the body's like, yeah, I forgot. I could use this so easily. Let's get a bag full of this. Please keep sending it in. And the person can't stop eating. But when it's not real nutrition, by the end of the bag, the person's still as hungry as they were before they took their first bite, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, the body's like, hey, thanks, but I got nothing there. What else you got?
Yeah, and maybe we can just take a second to look at, like, What is the ideal flow then? Like, if people are just using this and that to problem solve, like chocolate or potato chips or whatever else, because like you said, they'll be hungry again in a minute, and they're they just spike their insulin, so they're not using any fat for fuel, and they're on this little roller coaster. So that's bad. It's not helping. They're not going to lose weight. They're not going to feel good. They're not going to escape this craving cycle.
But, and they have to continue to feed themselves like a hummingbird would, yeah, who needs sugar constantly because that's all it burns, right, is sugar.
Yeah.
If you can burn some fat, now you can don't eat food every 15 minutes because your body has fuel.
Right. There's like hundreds of thousands of calories on our body, mm-hmm, ready to be metabolized if we can get ourselves in that zone. So we can get ourselves in that zone by looking at a few different things, like making sure our digestion is working great, so proteins and fats are available fuel sources, choosing the right kind of carbs for us so they don't spike our insulin, so not a lot of liquid sugars or high glycemic carbs.
Or alcohol.
I
was looking right at Kenna when I said that.
I know.
He couldn't even stop himself. And then eating those sort of meals that really give us grounding, like slow-burning energy at regular intervals. Because that's another thing. Like, you can have your digestion working great and eat a great breakfast. And one thing that I'll face is I'll be out training people like 12 hours a day. And if I don't bring the right things with me, I'll get cravings too, even though my digestion's working great and whatever, mm-hmm, else. So eating on time.
And you're perfect.
Oh. Not when I miss my meals. So doing the different food prep and bringing the right foods with you and eating before you get hungry is also a really huge, helpful thing to keep cravings away.
Definitely. Yeah. Being prepared, I guess, is the biggest thing for me. But yeah, back to the drinking. So binge drinking. Binge drinking. I mean, can you stop that too? I mean, or is it you're really just an alcoholic, or are you craving it because you're missing out on resources?
No, what I've found with clients is that binge eating, binge drinking, smoking, drugs.
Binge sex.
Yeah, binge sex is not the same thing. But with the other four that I mentioned, that in most cases, it's a body not getting what it needs. So either the eating the sugar or drinking the alcohol and the sugar is lifting the blood pressure, or the smoking is that filth is thickening up the blood and it's constricting the vascular system so that raises blood pressure. So all these things are just helping the person function better. And yes, they're functioning on garbage, but the body is more concerned with right now. I need something to help my body function right now.
So we just need to crash some AA meetings or some NA meetings or something, mm-hmm, and just go in and spread this word and say, people,
simmer down.
Yeah,
now.
Just fix your stuff physiologically.
Yeah, and again, there can be emotional issues with that, and there's always baggage, but I've just seen where it becomes much easier to deal with if you help the physiology get into a place where it's working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dick, I've actually taken candy from a baby before. It was gross because it was half eaten and slobbered on. Yeah. Well, all I can say is it's in your name, Dick. Yeah. It's right there. Right. The answer is right there in your name. You know, I've done some bad stuff like that too. When you get that craving in your head, you just... It's tunnel vision.
You can
vision.
Rationalize. Yeah, you
if
rationalize.
I could get to my goals, like I could get to a Twinkie, oh my gosh, I'd right. be like superstar right now.
And maybe. People will talk themselves into the fact that, you know, I think if I ate this whole pizza right now, in the long run, it would help my weight loss in some way. And they rationalize ways that
or
will happen.
I'm choosing to eat this whole pizza right now. It's not, you know, choosing me to eat it, so... okay, so Amber, I think about what I want to eat, how it will affect my goals. Will I regret it, literally, in the morning? What would Tony say? Amber, I think she's sucking up here. I mean, come on, she's just showing off. I mean, who sits around and goes, is this going to get me to my goals? In that moment, I'm sorry, I lose all rationality.
Right, so this is the difference, is if you can fix physiology, that doesn't mean automatically you're not going to crave anything, but you might be able to get to a point where now you can look at, oh, this might be bad later, and you can actually see that. Because I remember Amber telling me when she first started this, she didn't care about any of that. She was just nuts cramming stuff in and couldn't stop. But, you know, sometimes if you can help the body, then it's still there. You can't just ignore it because then you're going to lose every time. But now you have the ability to think rationally before you find that you're halfway through a bag of Twinkies.
Yeah, because if I'm using a pair of skinny jeans for motivation, I'm going to eat the skinny jeans, you know, to get to the other side where the chocolate or the pizza is at. So, more power to you, Amber. Laura from Torrance, California. Cut out all grains, sugars, and starchy veggies. Then my cravings go away and I feel better. What is it with all these people that have all the answers? What?
They've learned something.
Shoot.
Well, a lot of these people are on the group that we've been, you know, teaching stuff. But, you know, what? How do you look at that when someone has the ability to drop the sugars and the grains and carbs? Why does that help them not crave it anymore?
Yeah, because it's mostly about the blood sugar roller coaster that they step off. Like, when you eat carbs, you spike your insulin, and the insulin, as we just mentioned earlier, tells the liver, don't use any fat for fuel until this sugar is gone, meaning until I'm gone, the insulin. And for a lot of people, that insulin stays in the bloodstream regardless whether there's sugar there or not, or the insulin is there in abundance to the point where they run out of the energy from the sugar, but the insulin's still telling the liver, don't use fat for fuel. So then they're just in this crash mode. They don't have fat they can tap into, and they are out of carbs. So they get back into eating carbs and carbs and carbs, and they just stay in that train. But if they can get out of that circle by letting their insulin get low enough and get back into the fat burning zone,
by eating foods that are not spiking,
yeah, then they can have tons and tons of energy, not only from the food they're eating, but also from their body fat stores, and they can start losing weight in the right way.
Right. So not only is the food, if you can eat proteins and low glycemic vegetables, not only can that burn slower and longer, but it also allows your body to access stored fat even when that is gone.
Right.
But with the sugar spikes and crashes, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, think about like when I first told Kenna, I don't want you to eat this bread, you know, and this carbs and all this kind of stuff. And she just kind of had this little giggle like, you're insane. I haven't, there's no way that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people have failed when they've tried to do that before, like they tried to do the Atkins diet or something like that, because they didn't fix their digestion, you know, and they didn't restore their ability to use fats and proteins for fuel.
So they switched their diet to fats and proteins, but they can't process fats and proteins, so they're getting nothing.
Right.
They took away their only source of fuel by losing the carbs.
Yeah, and they say, this is never going to work, right?
Right.
So, and I always, whenever I, like, get my clients started on a program, I always say, let's work on fixing your digestion first before we totally revamp your diet. And there's always the times when they just switch to the diet immediately and try to go no carbs, and they haven't done the work to really build up their HCL yet. And it always makes them crash.
And then they think, well, that's just me. I can't do without carbs.
Yeah.
But it's really because you can't process the other stuff.
Yet.
Yeah, I mean, this is not my first day at the rodeo. I've been doing this for a long time. And I've lost 100 pounds, gained weight, dropped it again. And, you know, so I do eat really clean. But the one thing that I find is, like, when you get back, you can't do everything all at once or you'll snap. You have to, like, baby step it back. You have to, like, okay, what can I focus on this week? Let's try to focus on this one thing. And then the next week you add something in. So for somebody to take their carbs out completely right from the beginning, I think that's just like cutting your hand off, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that you, especially with you, what you've seen is that you have to do
medium
the
carbs
other steps. Right. Too. You know, you have to take steps to lift your mineral levels so your body has something there or you snap.
Mm-hmm. And it's not pretty.
Yeah, right. She punches me in the face sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, there's a lot of nuances to it depending on the person. And like we said, one of the main reasons people binge and have cravings is because their blood pressure goes too low. So when they try to do this no-carb diet right away without fixing it by either adding more minerals and improving their digestion to break down proteins and fats, then they're just going to be in Dumpsville.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff is really complicated. And we'll see people that could almost correct everything by adding a little sea salt. And all of a sudden, they're like golden. And it's really annoying when those people do it so easily. But for a lot of people, it's a lot more complicated. You have to look at other issues. But the good news is that in 1,000 cases, I would say that not one has been a problem where that person has no willpower. That's just not the problem, and that's what most people think. They just think they're weak or that they have no willpower, and it's just never the case.
And when people are sitting here going, well, how do I find this out? They can go to kickitinthenuts.com, and they can take the free 4-week digestion course.
Right, and that kind of shows you, and that has me and Will in there with videos teaching you how to look at your own chemistry, and Will even shows you his pee, you know. So
I thought you were going to say something else there for a minute. I have to go back and watch those videos. Okay.
Yeah, and we get more into the nuances of all these different imbalances in the fat loss course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that goes
for that's very, very affordable too, people. There's some coupons out there. So Renee, need new ideas for substitutes to replace salty snacks. Sometimes I'll eat those roasted seaweed sheets, but would love some other ideas to have stuff on hand that is quick and easy. I also read that using digestive bitters helps when you have cravings. I've also been trying different herbal teas.
The bitters thing is interesting for two reasons. Bitters is something that helps acidify your stomach. So
is it alcohol though?
It's from... It comes, like, if you have beer, they have it's something that has to do with fermenting. But you can buy Swedish bitters, and I'll have people use, like, a teaspoon of that at the end of their meal if they need to acidify their stomach and if they can't use HCL for some reason. But it's real disgusting. So I'm wondering if people are bitters. I'm wondering if people just use it, like, if you're craving something, just have that, and you're not going to want anything else.
Yeah, exactly. You're just going to cut your tongue out.
But it could also be helping digestion enough to where you're getting nutrients and stuff, too.
So what's the deal? Because I said, like, I do eat pretty clean most of the time. So what is the deal when I crave something, like, really processed? Like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just want some squirt cheese or something that is just, like, nasty. It's not even food. But for whatever reason, I'm like, I want it. Instead of, like, I could make myself something bad or fattening, but with some organic or whatever, and still be bad, and I would still get that craving. But no, I want, like, fast food or something.
Well, who doesn't want squirt cheese?
Yeah, I know. Right? I mean, come on.
Could there be a more perfect invention ever?
Right.
Will, what do you think?
I think it's because, like what you said earlier with potato chips, it's just such a immediate rush of things that can add to your blood pressure and your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The more processed it is, the less processing your digestion has to do. So it's like the quickest, easiest answer to push your body chemistry back into like the ideal zone.
So the bad part about process is just that it doesn't have any nutrients and it's just chemicals basically. Well, but it's easier to digest.
Here's what has happened with our food today is that we have food mad scientists who have discovered how to make food taste a way that our body thinks it is. Because in nature, back when food was what it was, we could taste the food and the body knew what it needed. Because things that were sweet in nature had a lot of minerals in it, like fruit, you know, is always loaded with minerals, and that's not the case anymore. So when we tasted something sweet, it sent this reward signal to our brain that said, yeah, that's, you want that. Eat more of that because that has the minerals and the nutrients that we need. Same with like fatty stuff and salty stuff. We need those fats. We need those salt minerals from salt. So what the mad scientist learned how to do was that I can make this Twinkie taste like it has the nutrition that your body wants in nature. So, but I can not only make it taste like that, I can make it taste like that times 10,000. So when you eat it and your brain's like, holy crap, that's exactly what I need. That has everything I've ever wanted in it. Please eat more of that. So then your body remembers that. So you get a craving for it later when it's missing the nutrients that it needs and it's sending you the signal for, hey, give me a Twinkie. So you get the Twinkie in your mouth, you chew it up, you eat it, and your body's like, yeah, that's what I needed. But then a few minutes later, all that nutrition that it thought it was going to get never shows up. Yeah. But it doesn't look at the Twinkie as a liar. It just looks at it, hey, I must need some more. Give me some more Twinkies.
And it's so weird because when I'm in that zone and I'm eating really clean, if I'm not really craving something, but I'll have a bite or something, somebody will say, oh, just taste this. I can taste all the crap in it, and it doesn't taste that great to me. But when I have like this, you know, binge or craving, then it's like it tastes fantastic.
Right, right. So it has a lot to do with how our food is processed, and that's why if people can move away from processed foods and eat something that's actual food, then they can get a better grip on their cravings too.
Poor Steve in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm a type 2 diabetic and a sugar freak. Why do I have something that is so... What? Why do I crave something that is so bad for me? Kind of like that boyfriend that I used to have.
Right, yeah. Because he liked him to call you
names.
He was
bad news, but I still loved him.
But you look, it's kind of like what we were just talking about, in that a type 2 diabetic, the insulin is not pushing the glucose into the cells and letting it, you know, be utilized. So a type 2 diabetic can take a quart of ice cream, and the first bite is so delicious because the body's like, sugar, that's what we need. We need that. But then when the body can't process the sugar, then it's like, hey, we still need sugar. So the last bite is just as delicious and he's just as hungry as he was on the first bite.
Yeah, I'm looking at Will. Follow up.
I mean, I feel like we've gone over this, like, why the worse off your body is at processing sugar, like, the higher glycemic, easier access foods it wants. Like, it's not going to crave oatmeal because it's too slow. It's not going to get to the bloodstream in time. You're not going to crave. No one sits down and binges on eggs. You know, like, you don't have like 40 eggs.
I'm going to eat so much broccoli.
Unless you're like a bodybuilder, that's like, he doesn't want to eat those eggs. Like, he just needs to gain weight, you know? So that's most people listening to this are trying to lose weight, and they're fighting a battle against their current imbalances, or like getting it so that their body can restore the ability to use slow burning fuels and like proteins and fats and lower glycemic carbs. And I think one strategy that we talked about in the past was like what has to happen to restore insulin sensitivity is kind of like a drug addict. Like, you have to get away from, I think I got this metaphor from you. It's like, you have to get away from the drug for it to even give you the high that it used to.
Right.
So like someone who does like a bunch of like cocaine, like they have to use more and more and more, and they're still not even getting the high that they used to from like a little hit.
I know it.
Right. So that gets really expensive, and it's
exactly.
And but that's also like with sugar, like at first like cherries used to be a treat, you know, and now it's like they're like a cherry on top of the sundae.
Right,
like, it's their only place in the diet now. So, because those sugars just need to be higher glycemic and cheaper and easier to gain. So we want to wean them off carbs to try to restore their insulin sensitivity by limiting the amount of carbs that they eat and the types of carbs that they eat, and even using the 3 p.m. carb cutoff rule that we recommend to a lot of people. If they're not low blood pressure, then they qualify to do this thing where they try not to eat any active carbs, which are sugars or starches, after 3 p.m., which gives them this long window of time, like all afternoon, evening, and through the night, when their insulin can go down and their body can switch back into the fat-burning zone. And that has a really great effect on restoring their cellular receptivity to insulin.
And the whole thing to get through this whole show is to understand that when you're having these cravings, it's almost always about something that your body's not getting. And that doesn't mean that your body needs, you know, crackers. It just means that it needs something. Those
or
crackers
will.
Are what?
Or will. Ah! Yeah, he doesn't get it.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Will. Power.
Yeah, will power. So it's just that those crackers have something that can fix what you need right away. So it's about looking at what does your body really need, what's not working right.
And speaking of Will, I think that was his private jet that just landed
outside. Well, that was loud for me.
Yeah, so we better start getting through these questions. Stephanie, drink water, lay down, and pray I fall asleep quickly so I don't think about chocolate. Wow, there's a recurring theme, and it's chocolate.
Yeah, that's a big one. And you see that people are doing things that work for them, but they're things that are, you know, tricks that they found to trick themselves. But if they can just have their body get what it needs, they won't need to do these tricks.
Mm-hmm. Janet from Marion, North Carolina. Chicken bouillon helps when you're craving carbs. Is that true?
I've never heard that before, but it makes sense because of what's in it, right?
Yeah, just the sodium, the salts that can kind of push you up. Just like I'd heard from this one doctor that I used to listen to, you'd say, like, whenever you're craving sugar, you're actually craving salt. So I always had people put salt heavily in their food and in their water. And, I mean, that's not really accurate what he said, but it gets that, like, salt is a helpful tool to
and
help
keep your
blood pressure.
And if you're craving salt, you should just eat some sugar.
Always, you know, do the
same is true. If you have an imbalance on this way, there's another side to it as well. Okay.
Well, it actually would work, but it's not as good of a thing.
No.
Patricia, why do I sometimes crave butter? I don't crave sweets or any other carbs but butter. Does she just sit there with a stick of butter and eat butter?
When I was 6 years old, I would eat a stick of butter at a time.
Oh, gross.
Wow.
And I thought I was one of the cool kids.
Right. But I think
she's... butter's good for you, right?
For me. Yeah. So tell us about that, Will.
Can be, yeah. So I think she's just hearing like an authentic craving that her body's giving her. When you're too catabolic, you need more saturated fats or sterols like cholesterol, and butter is a really great source of steroids.
I'm jealous of your imbalance.
Right.
I want to be catabolic instead of anabolic, so I can eat butter.
Douse yourself in butter.
Uh-huh. And water. I'm craving water. And
drink water.
Yeah, drink some water. That seems like a no-brainer right there. Yeah. Unless you're like me and you drink a lot of water and you flush everything out. And right. I crave water a lot, but sometimes I have to say, no, you can't have any. You've already had a ton today, and you're not going to have any minerals.
Right. You do have to qualify to drink water. If somebody has low blood pressure, you don't want them washing out all their minerals. But for most people, they crave water, and they think when they had a Diet Coke or some coffee that they're drinking water, and that's not the case. You have to drink actual water.
Yeah. And that, but it also can be a solution for sometimes for people with cravings when they're dehydrated, and with that, their blood pressure is low. And they think they want sugar, but if they just had a big glass of water, a lot of times they're fine. So I've heard, I don't know how often, some made-up statistic about like actually like 30% of the time when people are craving carbs, they're actually just dehydrated.
I've heard that too.
You know, like who knows that's that, whatever. But it happens sometimes, so know like maybe that's what you need.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not so bad to drink a little water and see how you feel.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, well, boys, that's all of our questions. It was fun.
It
y'all
was
have
fun.
Anything
it
else to
time.
Do? Or
no, I'm done with
about?
You.
I don't know. He's done with me. He just all right. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. And catch us on the next episode where we'll be talking about something going wrong in your body. Thanks for tuning in to Kick It Naturally, where it's okay to talk about your poop.
Bye-bye.
Bye.